The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello everybody, Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Ray and I ready to do it. Ray is engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Lots to talk about during the noon hour today. There usually is. We usually have a very full program. Today, no exception. It's November the 7th, Tuesday. Hope you are having so far a good week. We're coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI. Have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. And KVOI.com. And without further ado, there's so much to talk about, so I want to go right to the nation's capital and Terry Bracey, our expert on Washington, D.C. and governmental affairs. Terry has enjoyed a long and distinguished career, beginning as a key aide to Congressman Morris K. Udall. He went on to serve under four presidents of both parties. He is a senior partner in the respected government affairs firm of Bracey, Tucker, Brown, and Valenzano, and he represents, among other clients, his main client that Terry has is the city of Tucson. Terry, how are you, sir?
Bill, I'm doing just fine. I'm afraid November has finally arrived. It's typical. It's wet and rainy and about 45 degrees. So it's 80 sounded pretty good when I heard your forecast.
Yeah, we've got a beautiful day. And you had some good weather, didn't you? You love to play golf, and you're an excellent golfer. And you're in the senior division, but you're one of the top players, and you were in North Carolina.
Well, to call me one of the top players in my dreams.
For your age bracket, how is
that?
Well,
that's true. Of course, there are fewer and fewer to compete against, you know. As the great escalator to the sky keeps moving. But I was in North Carolina and playing a golf tournament this weekend and had a wonderful time until we all heard about this massacre in Texas.
Oh.
And boy, you could just see the air come out of the whole crowd.
Mm.
The dinner was kind of down. Everybody was talking about this, and people wondering aloud, you know, can't we do away with these assault rifles? And when are we going to do something? The same questions every time as we kind of normalize this behavior. I mean, this is how many of these have we seen?
Too many, Terry.
Yeah.
Big political news, Mr. Bracey, coming here from Arizona. The story, Arizona representative, United States representative, Congresswoman Martha McSally, representing the Republican, representing the CD2 here, has now told Republican colleagues that she is running for the U.S. Senate seat, being vacated by Senator Jeff Flake. So this really now will be a very interesting primary. She faces off against former State Senator Kelly Ward. Terry, some of your thoughts about this.
Well, if that is the choice voters ultimately get coming out of the primaries, you would end up with two very, very competent candidates. Congresswoman McSally, you know, she's made it through twice in what's a pretty tough district, and although thought to have a very tough race this year, in large part because of Trump's unpopularity in southern Arizona, she might well be a very popular candidate for Senate. Might have an easier time winning the Senate race than her own re-election race, but she's extremely competent. And on the Democratic side, we're talking now about Congresswoman Sinema, who's a moderate Democrat from the Phoenix area. And if the two, you know, party hopefuls do win, Arizona will have its best choice for Senate in many a year.
Our good friend Jeff Rogers weighed in this morning a few minutes ago, as Jeff said that Jeff is the former chair, as you know, Terry, of the Pima County Democratic Party. He served two terms, and he tells me this is going to make the Democratic primary a very heated one. This will be the most winnable takeaway for the Democrats in the nation. That's the opinion of Jeff Rogers, talking about the five-way primary that's going to be really heating up in CD2 on the Democratic side.
Yeah, well, you've got some big players, including a former congresswoman in that race, Ann Kilpatrick. And there's a lot of star power on the Democratic side this time, which often isn't the case. So, I think that could go either way. I don't know who the Republicans would put up, but I'm sure they'll come up with a good candidate. But that'll be one of the most watched races in the country. Watch out for the dark money. It's coming.
There are three names that have sort of popped up, and I'll mention them real quickly. Then I wanted to move on to some other things. Former State Senator David Gowan his name has come up. Frank Antonori, the former state lawmaker here in Arizona, and Leah Marquez Peterson, who is head of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Those are the three names that I have heard so far. So, Terry, it is Election Day, so I guess it's appropriate we're talking about the election of, well, next year, but there's an election, a couple of them today, right?
Yeah, I just voted. there's a big one in Virginia, which will be a pretty good test of where we are, I think, nationally. It's interesting, you would think in an era where Trump is way down in popularity that it would be an easy race for the Democrat, who happens to be an excellent man and a wonderful candidate named Dr. Ralph Northam. He was he's a lieutenant governor. He's a pediatrician. He was an Army doctor serving in Vietnam. He's got all those credentials, and he's running against a former lobbyist, Ed Gillespie. And as things started out, Gillespie was a clear underdog, and but both were regarded as moderates in their party, and as a result, in Ed's case, the moderate Republicans moved behind him as their only chance, and the Democrats beat a race from the left and put their mainstream candidate in. And so there we are. We've got the two mainstream candidates, and now Gillespie has moved to the right and has gotten the Trump people behind him. So it's actually become a very close race, and I think we're going to learn something from it.
Terry, I'm going to have to abbreviate some of the things I wanted to talk about, but I do want to bring up the tax reform and what you see the prospects for that, because I'm going to be talking more about that in detail with Shelley Fishman at about 12:20 this afternoon. Do you think there's a – what are the odds that something's going to get passed in that arena?
I'd say right now about 50-50, and those are better odds than I gave it a couple of weeks ago. But what might pass would be a more limited version of reform, and one which, if we do get a tax cut, it's not going to be paid for. We're going to have to borrow under the Republican bill now about $1.5 trillion and take that in debt that our kids will pay for, the next generation, and effectively to give ourselves a pay raise. But I think I'll be interested in what Shelley has to say. From the standpoint of the city, we've got a lot of complaints about the bill from that public standpoint. For example, doing away with the deduction for state and local taxation and various kinds of private bonds which are used by cities all the time for development. And those would be ruled out. So, and you have a bill which essentially, in the larger scheme of things, rewards passive ownership versus active ownership. For example, Bill, if if my family owns a pizza parlor, my dad dies and leaves it to me and a brother, and I decide I'd like to run the business instead of selling it, and my brother says he doesn't want any part of it, but he'll take his share of the stock, what I get paid as the active partner running the business will be taxed more heavily than my brother, who would be a passive investor.
Wow.
That's one of the perversions of this bill that's only now being discovered. So people who are sitting back and taking in all this passive investment, i.e., pretty wealthy people, and people who don't work are getting taxed less than people who do work. So there are a lot of problems with this bill, and I think its best chances are in the short term, you know, to get thrown in with the appropriations and other and something in a big vehicle than it would be if it really lies out there in the open air in the sunshine for a while and people really discover what's in it.
All right, Terry, I'm going to have to run. There was an article in the Star this morning about a possible government shutdown in December. Are you hearing anything about that?
Well, we have, I think it's December 8th, that the current, we're operating on a series of continuing resolutions. In other words, instead of getting the big deal done that they should do and settling the budget and settling appropriations, they haven't done it yet, so they say, well, everything will stay where it is for 3 months, and then 3 months, and then 3 months. Well, the latest of these will be in early December, and, of course, they'll be looking at Christmas, and maybe they'll do something of a permanent nature then.
All right. Terry Bracey, thank you very much, sir. Have a great afternoon, Terry. Thanks.
You too. My pleasure.
Thanks a lot. Terry Bracey with us from Washington, D.C. Shelley Fishman's up next. We'll talk some more about taxes and tax reform and where we may be going or not going with this as we continue on Buckmaster. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday on the Buckmaster Show, we'll talk with Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasacek. We'll dissect the election results. Plus, David Safir writes about education for the Tucson Weekly. That's Buckmaster noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. We've got our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Well, I know who I'll be consulting with because he's right here, Shelley Fishman. Hello, Shelley.
Bill, how are you today?
Very good, and a very interesting discussion with Terry Bracey, talking about some of these tax reforms that are being considered on the table. And there was a movie, Clint Eastwood's movie, The Good, Bad, and the Ugly. And I guess we could probably apply some of that to what we've been talking about with the tax code and
the tax rates.
I mean, there is some good.
It's hard to find it, as far as I'm concerned. But one of the things that we have to look at is, first of all, the overall need for tax cuts at all. Arguably, we have some need on the business side. The individual side is something else entirely. And that's really where Terry was focusing his remarks. And I think that some of the cautions that he was raising are very appropriate and very real. The stuff that you and I talk about all the time, of course, is on the business side because that affects the value of the markets and people's willingness and ability to invest. And here we have about $1.5 trillion of new deficits that will be caused over the next 10 years by the reductions in this act. And about half of those are attributable to the reductions in the business side. Right now, the business tax is around nominally 35%, and they're talking about bringing it down to about 20%. You can argue whether that's necessary or not, or whether the 20% number is the right number. The devil is always in the details, and Terry, you know, really said it exactly right. There was no sunshine beating down on this process. This process was done in the back rooms. It was done by people who had a political stake in making sure something happened. And as a result, it hasn't had the exposure,
the vetting.
But you know, on the business side, Bill, because this world is now so interconnected from a business perspective and from a commerce perspective, anything we do, especially something we do that is specifically intended to repatriate large amounts of money, putting aside for a moment the argument about whether or not repatriating that money is a good idea, just the minute you talk about repatriating trillions of dollars, the effect on our business trading partners and the people that we have relationships with around the world is non-trivial, to say the least. And what that means is that before we make moves like this, we shouldn't, and please don't misunderstand, I'm not suggesting we should get anybody's permission to do this overseas, but we should be discussing these things in world forums that give us the opportunity to understand the perspective of our trading partners and the perspective of others in the world with whom we do business, to understand what they think the impact of something like this will be on them. To give you one perfect example, stuck away in this tax draft is an excise tax that could create trade wars with some of our most important trading partners, and it has to do with intellectual property. Now, that kind of thing requires tremendous expertise and a lot of discussion. I believe that reducing business taxes overall is probably a good thing, simply because the nominal rate for U.S. business taxes is probably higher than it should be vis-a-vis the rest of the world. We need some equalization there. But that should be done in a long-term process of discussing this with our trading partners, discussing this with businesses around the world so that we can really assess what the impacts will be, rather than saying, well, America first, we're going to, you know, cut taxes and money is going to flow back here. Well, that kind of money flowing back here will have tremendous impacts on the world economy, and some of those impacts will be unanticipated and unforecast. There are so many ways, Bill, to cut business taxes that might have more forecastable outcomes.
Like what?
Well, for instance, one of the things we're saying is that our tax rate, the nominal rate, is 35%.
Mm-hmm. Right.
However, nobody pays it. Mm-hmm. Or those companies that do pay the 35% are typically those companies that can least afford it. The big companies don't pay anything like that. And so what we need to really study is what are the components of that tax and how can we revise it in such a way that those companies that are on the cusp of profitability, for instance, that are not just, you know, brand new companies, but companies that have been around a while and are beginning to move into profitability, those are the companies that we want to encourage growth in, but we can't necessarily do that by just doing an across-the-board cut. Now, those kinds of delicate mechanisms, if you will, in taxation are very complex and can't be done in a couple of months in the back rooms. One of the things that we're talking about in this bill is, for instance, on the business side, is changing the depreciation schedules so that companies will have the ability to write off capital expenses in the year that they're incurred, rather than over the life of the capital investment. That, you would think, would be really good, because right. What it would do is it would reduce that company's profitability in that year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's fine. But we've already reduced their tax rate down to 20%. Reducing their profitability in that same year might make their tax burden zero. But the next year, bingo, you know, they get hit.
Right.
So there are pretty good reasons for many of these tax rules to be there. Some of them make some sense, some of them don't. And we're really not looking, I think, we haven't given this the time or the exposure to understand how tax reform on the business side could reduce risk for investors and at the same time stabilize the ability of companies to continue to earn profits, not just in the short term, but in the longer run. You know, what we're seeing today is because we have about $1.5 trillion sitting on the sidelines in essentially cash, is that instead of, and I've said this ad nauseum, mm-hmm, I'm sorry to repeat it again, but what we've said is with companies who do not see opportunity to invest right now, what they're doing is they're buying back stock or they're retiring debt. If we bring even more money back here, that may not, in fact, promote more business investment. What it may do is simply promote more return in dividends, in terms of dividends, and more buying back stock and more retiring of debt. That is not stimulative. It doesn't grow the economy when that happens. It's in fact completely neutral. So those kind of effects have to be studied. And the thing that bothers me most about saying we need to pass this before the end of the year is we really haven't looked at it.
Rushing thing through.
Right.
Terry Bracey was saying he thinks it's about a 50-50 shot. Something will come out of this. What we eventually will see, who knows?
Right, and I think he's right about that. And we've talked about mm-hmm. that. The what we're seeing now, however, coming out of the woodwork, are both large companies and some very large lobbying organizations,
right.
Like the home builders and in some cases the chambers of commerce, saying, wait a second, not so fast with these changes. We need to really understand what they mean.
And these organizations have tremendous power.
Oh, tremendous power.
So who knows how it is all going to...
And the effect on markets
right.
is critical. Because the minute you begin to do things that are unpredictable,
mm-hmm.
that will upset markets, which are on a tear right now.
Right, but they're also in a wait-and-see mode.
Yes, that
in the
too.
Back, that's there in the background as well. Right. Shelley Fishman, always a pleasure. Thank you very much, Shelley. I hope you have a great week, and folks can find out more about you by going to my website.
Best way to do it.
BuckmasterShow.com. There's a link to Shelley there. He'll return your phone call in a very timely manner. We'll be right back.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Since 1944, the Humane Society of Southern Arizona has helped over 1 million pets in Southern Arizona. I'm Richard Carmona, 17th Surgeon General of the United States and Distinguished Professor at the University of Arizona. Join me in supporting the Humane Society of Southern Arizona in their effort to build a new animal welfare center. Keeping the pets in our community safe and healthy helps ensure that our community as a whole is safe and healthy. Please donate now, because we are all in this together.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. So much to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Just a 3-hour drive east of Tucson. Do some hiking along the Continental Divide Trail. Go birding along the Gila River. Visit historic Pinos Altos. Or just check out the world-class collection of Mimbres pottery at Western New Mexico University in historic Silver City. Great places to stay, many things to do. You can find out all about it by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. And telephonically, we now visit Vail, Arizona. That is the home of the Dr. David Levy Observatory. Dr. Levy is the Buckmaster Show contributor on science, former science editor of Parade Magazine, Heads Up, and is the founder of the Sharing the Sky science education organization. David is one of the most successful comet discoverers in history, discovering 23 comets, including his co-discovery of Shoemaker-Levy 9. How are you, sir?
Do I have the honor of speaking to the famous award-winning Dr. Bill Buckmaster?
It is I. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm great. I'm glad you just did the ad about
Silver City,
because Wendy and I are going to be going right through there on our way to Albuquerque in 2 weeks.
Well, when you stop off, perhaps to get gas or something else, tell them we appreciate their support.
We always do that to visit our children and grandchildren out there every Thanksgiving.
All right. We've got so much going on. When we look to the sky, this is a great time of year for meteor showers.
Well, I thought it was, Bill.
Oh.
But I went out to do the Orionid meteors over several nights, and I think I got two or three very faint ones. You know, the kind when you think, was that a meteor or was that just my eyes? And then the Taurids, followed by about a week, haven't seen any yet. Not a farthing, nothing.
Huh.
So I think I'm going to give up astronomy and go into politics. Should I run for president?
Maybe so. You'll still be a very young man in 2020. So why not? Hey, the Cassini mission is over, isn't it? That has had a great run.
Yeah, it is. In fact, I'm going to miss it, and I'm especially going to miss the work that Dr. Carolyn Porco did. She did a wonderful job. And as the director of that program, the interesting thing about Carolyn is that when I was suffering from prostate cancer and kidney cancer about 25 years ago, the only person from the Lunar and Planetary Lab to bother to come and visit me and Wendy was Carolyn Porco. And she came up, she had flowers, and it was just so sweet. The other thing was that when the Lunar Prospector spacecraft crashed into the moon, she asked if she could watch it with us from our home, and she came down and did. So I have an enormous amount of respect for Carolyn, and certainly for the mission that she ran so well over almost half an orbit around Saturn.
And the mission that crashed into the moon, that had some ashes on board, correct?
It certainly did. Yes. I'm glad you remember, Bill.
Yes.
That was some ashes of the late Gene Shoemaker, who my co-discoverer of Comet Shoemaker-Levy 9, and who was killed in a car crash, I think it was a few months earlier. And some of his ashes were put aboard the spacecraft, and he is now resting, at least part of him is resting on the moon right now.
And Dr. Carolyn Porco had a great career at the University of Arizona, and then she went, I believe, up to Boulder, right? To the
University of
Colorado, and she continued to shepherd over the Cassini mission until it crashed into Saturn, right?
I believe so. Yeah. I know that she was right up there at the top of it during all of the mission's glory days, but then when it burned up in Saturn's atmosphere, she was nowhere to be seen. So I guess she decided to let some of the younger scientists take over that final swan song.
Now you have your bags packed, right?
I have my bags packed.
But you always have your bags packed because it seems like you're visiting and speaking really all over the world. What's this about a trip to the Vatican?
Well, it was actually in Ann Arbor.
Oh.
They did the annual Vatican Astronomy Seminar, and I went there earlier last month, and I did a presentation there that I really enjoyed and seemed to go over pretty well. And then 2 weeks later, I was back in Pennsylvania at the University of Pittsburgh at Johnstown, where I gave a lecture to the university, kind of based on my forthcoming book coming out called A Night Watchman's Journey. It is going to be the life of the David.
And that's kind of, so this is basically the autobiography that's coming out.
Yes, this is the autobiography. It is finished. It is being worked out now. And I believe it is going to be published by the Royal Astronomical Society of Canada. It's a big, big honor for them to publish that for me.
Well, it's going to be a very interesting reading. And, of course, you'll let our listeners know where it will be, how they can obtain it, I'm sure.
Yes, I certainly will in a future broadcast,
and,
as I know.
Which brings us now to the David Levy quote of the month.
The quote of the month is very simple this month. I'm going to quote from Tennyson's poem Locksley Hall, where he writes, "Many a night I saw the Pleiades rising through the mellow shade, glitter like a swarm of fireflies tangle in a silver braid." What a beautiful thought about the Pleiades. You can go outside and tonight, well, not tonight, it's going to be raining, but tomorrow night, look up and see the Pleiades in the east. It's so easy to see. It's a cluster of stars, and they're all young, young stars. Our sun was a member of such a cluster when it was young, and as it's grown older, the stars that were once a member of the sun's cluster are spread throughout the galaxy now. We don't even know which ones they were.
David Levy, I heard the bells tolling, but that usually means we need to wrap it up, but I'll keep it another minute because you know I love the constellation Orion.
I know. I kind of think of you in our program whenever I look at Orion.
Yeah, it's my favorite, and it's coming into all of its holiday season glory, isn't it?
It certainly is, and by then it'll be rising right about at dusk, and will be in the sky all night long.
Mm.
And we'll be able to look at the Orion Nebula, and enjoy the beautiful things that are in that star-forming area of our galaxy.
Is it visible now?
It is visible now, indeed, but it rises around 11 o'clock at night.
Oh.
So you have to be up a little late, as I am.
I'll be in bed.
But it's always welcome.
Okay. David Levy, always a pleasure, and I will not talk to you before Thanksgiving because we already are booked up for your appearance in early December. So I want to wish you and your lovely bride, Wendy, a very happy Thanksgiving. Be safe in your travels, my friend.
Thank you, and enjoy your Thanksgiving. Speak with you next month.
Thanks a lot.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the program presented by Green Things. Everything you need that's green. And I like green things. I like things that are green. How's that? I like being out in the garden. I like roses. And so it's a natural for me. We have a wonderful partnership with Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. They've got a great website. And I do appreciate the fact they also have a link to the Buckmaster Show prominently displayed there. But they have these great workshops. One's coming up this Saturday from 10 until noon. Free workshop. You know, your pottery on the patio stuff breaks. Well, rather than just throw it away, why not reacquisition it into a kind of a broken pot plant, and it can really be some beautiful things. But anyway, go by. You'll learn some great tips at Green Things this Saturday. We're going to talk some education now. Jason Fried is with us. Jason heads up the Tucson Education Association, which represents a large number of teachers in Southern Arizona in the Tucson Unified District. I've been trying to say that more. Good to see you, by the way, Jason.
Thank you for having me. Always great to chat with you.
Dr. Trujillo is on the show, and he said, you know, TUSD has kind of this negative connotation. So he says he's going to be calling it Tucson Unified. I like that. I like that. Tucson Unified, kind of people coming together.
So I praise the district in that I'm a product of TUSD, with my parents having graduated from TUSD, then spent their entire careers teaching at TUSD. I've spent my whole career teaching at TUSD.
Why did you want to be a teacher?
You know, that's a great question. I really didn't want to be a teacher. The last thing I wanted to be was a teacher, because I know the challenges and the struggles.
Yeah, because your parents went through the struggle as teachers.
Right. And then I found myself in high school being a drama aide, and then went into college, and my drama teacher said, "You got to be a teacher." And I started taking a couple of courses. And the more I did it, the more that I realized this is my love, this is my passion, is finding a way to work with young adults, with students, and trying to help them reach their potential.
We have so many vacancies, though, don't we? 1,200 at last report in Arizona. And this really becomes a challenge, because if you have 1,200 vacancies, well, the kids need a teacher, so who's going to be in the classroom?
Well, and then fortunately, we're finding substitutes, so we're doing, teachers are teaching what's called six-fifths, where they're teaching an extra class, and so they're feeling really burned by the you know, time the end of the school year comes, and it's just not, it's not ideal for our kids, and we've got to find a way to fix this. This is a national trend, but certain states have been able to avoid it more than others. Arizona's been hit pretty hard, and I think it's pretty obvious. Arizona was ranked as the 51st worst state to be a teacher in.
Doesn't get much lower.
Doesn't get much lower.
When you throw in 50 states in the District of Columbia, and you're down there at the bottom.
Right, and it comes back to the way that we fund public education as a state, and it's just like your budget at home. It's a matter of priorities, and right now our state legislature and our governor has not prioritized education.
New Mexico is an example of a state. They have a similar kind of economic situation. It's not a high wage place, as we've heard. Tucson's a low wage town, has been for decades. And when you go to New Mexico, there's a lot of poverty there as well. But somehow, Jason Fried, they have figured out that teachers deserve a good salary.
Well, and it helps us to attract the best, and it's not just the attracting, but it's the retention, right? So there's hundreds and hundreds of teachers in the Tucson area as well as Arizona that have teaching certificates that are not teaching, and it's such a challenging job. It's certainly not financially lucrative, and then they feel frustrated about their work environment. And so they leave the profession. Whereas if you can go to an area that you feel respected and you're paid more appropriately, we're going to be able to retain those people. So it really is the retention piece that's missing in education. We have a number of kids is not the right term, young adults who graduate from universities who want to be teachers, and then they get into the profession and they don't enjoy it. And they pursue other avenues. If we can make it where teachers are feeling more supported and we're paying them an appropriate wage like they are in our neighboring states, well, then we won't see people leave the profession or leave Arizona to go to some of these neighboring states to pursue their career.
It's going to be very interesting, Jason, to see the results of the Tucson Unified, the bond request that was put out there. We'll know in a matter of hours when the polls close, probably by 8 o'clock, we're going to know how people feel about it. It's going to be kind of a test to see, I think, how people feel about the direction of TUSD.
I think that's a great point. Yeah. I think most Tucsonans and people who reside within TUSD agree that there is a need for these funds. The issue is, do they trust that the school board is going to spend it appropriately? As we look at it more and more, though, there's no doubt that the funds are absolutely necessary.
There's so much infrastructure needs at TUSD. We had Dr. Trujillo on the program last week. He was talking about that some of these buildings, which were like post-World War II, Tucson was a boom town after World War II, and that was kind of like all this building was going on. Well, it's like that's the building you're seeing today.
Our buildings are 50 years old. Our technology, the average computer, is 12 years old in TUSD. And you kind of just goes down the line. And that's really, again, it's a matter of priorities from the state. The state has the dollars. The districts are left with the pennies. And when the state continues to underfund, and I mean, educators were insulted by the 1.06% stipend that the governor offered. It wasn't a raise. It was a stipend. While the governor increased his staff by 20% in their salaries, how do educators take that, but anything other than a slap in the face?
That message that was sent has not been real pleasant
again,
for teachers.
Again, it's back to priorities. What's important? And educators must not be important, but the governor's staff clearly must provide much more significance to the governor and the state legislature.
We're speaking with Jason Fried, head of the Tucson Education Association. This news that Tucson Unified had about 800 students who were expected to enroll in the fall within the system and didn't and went elsewhere. This translates into millions of dollars in lost revenue because each student represents a certain, I don't know what the formula is, you probably know it, but there's a formula that for each student there's
Mm-hmm. It's dollars amount. Yeah. Well, and what we've got to start doing is we've got to start helping people to see the good things that are happening to USD. And I know that it's not a flashy headline, but walk into a school, volunteer a little bit of time in your neighboring school. You're going to find that there's amazing things happening in each and every school. I've been in all the schools throughout TUSD.
There's like 80.
There's 89 sites. And if you go to those 89 sites, each and every one of them have amazing teachers doing great things for kids. And so we've got to just do a better job of sharing that and help the media to see that it's an enjoyable thing to see, you know, turn on your 10 o'clock news and see some kids smiling and enjoying school. Cause I could tell you that's really what's happening. We've got to help the community see that, see great programs that are happening at each and every site.
So now the challenge becomes when you've got that kind of red ink, the students that didn't come translates into, $4 or $5 million. And this is something that I didn't understand, Jason, until Dr. Trujillo educated me that you can't, with this budget, you can't necessarily put off that red ink to the end of the fiscal year. Mm-hmm. I just assumed that was the case. But I guess this is a pretty much budget as you go type program.
Exactly. And that was a change from the state legislature to current year funding.
That changes the whole game.
It changes everything. So you can't make those adjustments in future years. You have to make it in this year because the allocation is going to come in this year. And so the district has a responsibility and TEA is doing our part in making certain that the district keeps those cuts as far away from the classroom as possible. And the district is in complete agreement. The classroom is sacred and the school is sacred. And so we've got to look elsewhere to find those cuts, but you're not going to feel it. If you're a listener who's paying attention right now, your son or daughter is not going to feel it in the classroom. They're not going to feel it at the school, but there are some exterior pieces where an employee may want to call human resources and it may take a little bit longer to get that response. We'll take that as opposed to, in any way negatively impacting the education of our kids.
But hopefully these cuts, and there will be cuts, they're coming because TUSD is mandated to mm-hmm. keep the budget as current as possible. In other words, as little red ink from month to month. So those cuts are going to have to come in other staff members. And there have been, the knock on Tucson Unified was it's top heavy with administration. But I think that area, they've whittled away a lot of the administration.
And a good reason. I mean, there's some necessity for that, but we also know that when you look at the funding that's coming in from the state, they had to. I mean, it really wasn't even necessarily whether they were or were not top heavy. I mean, if you look at some of the charter schools that are paying exorbitant salaries to their superintendent and so on, and you compare them to the salaries within Tucson Unified, they really aren't comparable because those charter schools are running basically as a for-profit entity. And so, TUSD has been forced to make those cuts because of the funding that's coming from the state, as well as lost enrollment. There's a hope from all of us that care a great deal about Tucson Unified that we're going to reverse this trend. And the only way to reverse it is provide a great product for kids. And that's what TEA is involved in, is making sure we have great educators. If we have great educators, kids and families will flock to TUSD.
What about the charter schools? I know you talked, well, you make your living talking to teachers. Do some of them feel they get, do they make more money? Is there more satisfaction going to a charter school, or is it just a whole host of kind of a complicated reasoning there?
Well, so it depends on who we're talking about. Families as opposed to teachers. Teachers who go to charter schools oftentimes end up leaving those charter schools. They're most of the time they're not involved in state retirement system, so there's a loss there. And what is happening at those charter schools is wildly different from one school to the next, as opposed to a traditional public schools. There's a lot of similarities. Now, families who choose the charter schools are doing so for a myriad of reasons, but I can tell you as an educator, generally speaking, when I get students that come from charter schools, they are behind. And so the charter schools are not all of them. There are certainly charter schools that have done a very fine job. And there's reasons for such. But I could tell you, oftentimes as teachers, when we get those charter school students, we find that they're further behind and we've got to do some more work to get them caught up.
I'm out of time, but I just, another question. It seems like this always happens. I'm out of time, but there's another question I want to quickly ask you, Jason. Jason Fried about that we were going to get more teachers in the classroom, people who were not coming from a traditional teaching background, but perhaps they have a lot of experience in computers or some other field. Are we seeing any difference? Are those people coming in?
Not, and TUSD has agreed that those folks are not going to come in and just be a teacher. Now, what we talked about emergency certification, which requires classes and so on, and that's a sensible process. But simply saying that somebody has some expertise,
walk right in.
You know, there's a lot of skill involved in being an educator,
managing a class.
Oh yeah, and I tell people all the time, my brother's an engineer, I'm the math teacher. If you have a choice, you want to send your kid to me, not to my brother.
Jason Fried, thank you very much. Good to see you.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, coming up this afternoon, mic check with Mike Shaw. Mike Shaw and Ray Allen together, they put their two heads together and they come up with a great show from 4 to 5. Wake Up Tucson tomorrow morning from 6 to 9, and then we will talk about what happened with the election. And we'll do that right at the top of the program tomorrow on Buckmaster. On behalf of Ray Allen, Ray wishes you the best, as do I. Have a great afternoon and evening.